Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Podcast time once again, Growing in Grace. Mike Kapler, the Cap, along with the Breeze man, Joel Breezeke, who to this day still thinks the Flintstones were filmed before a live studio audience. Just so you know what I'm dealing with here with trying to do this podcast with him.
Except for the times when they're in the car, because they found that in the studio, they couldn't stop the car that fast with their feet.
I have a confession to make. I've been watching the Flintstones. And, you know, because back when they were made, Joel, they were really targeting more of the adult audience, even though it was a cartoon.
Based on the Honeymooners.
I was taken off the Honeymooners, the old 50s show with Ralph Cramden and Ed Norton, Jackie Gleason show. But I've just noticed a lot of things. Now, do you remember The Great Gazoo?
The Great Gazoo. It just strikes something in my brain, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't even gotten to those yet. But I found out the voice of The Great Gazoo was Harvey Korman from the Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, Harvey Korman. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Huh. And so that was kind of interesting. But I've also noticed sometimes when they're driving, like what you were referring to, when they're driving, how do I describe this? Sometimes it looks like they're driving on the right side of the car, like they're from England or something.
No.
Other times, it's the other way around.
I've never
Maybe
noticed
it depends
that.
Which direction they're going.
That's nothing I'd ever noticed. I don't know.
Anyway, hey, we've had some nice correspondence from people who have emailed us or written to us in some form. And I've got one here, Joel, I want to pass along from a young lady. She says, I've been wanting to send you guys an email for a long time because I'm just so grateful for your ministry. And she listens to a podcast every night. What she'll do, I guess, is she says, I listen to the newest episode 6 times in a row until the next one comes out. It's a great comfort to me. And she's kind of laughing about it. That's a little concerning for me. We're going to have to start watching what we say. My spiritual journey is probably similar to a lot of your listeners. I grew up in a Christian household. Now, this jumped out at me, Joel. I grew up in a Christian household that was anti-legalism, but we still focused on behavior versus identity. It never dawned on me that Jesus could not repeatedly die on the cross for my sins. That my beliefs belittled the blood of Christ. I just thought that was powerful stuff.
I
think we can all relate to that as we grow in our journey of grace, right? It was so freeing, she goes on, it was so freeing to realize I did not have to constantly question whether I was right with God. You guys have cleared up so much for me, including the book of James, the Word, the Bible itself. You tackle all the questions that I was afraid to ask or even think about. So we love getting those things. It's nice to know that people are out there benefiting and having God work in their lives through just, you know, you just never know how God is going to work, how he's going to move. And so I was excited to get that and appreciated what she had to say.
Yeah, that's always my prayer when we do this is that Christ, the cross, that God and his power and his love and his grace, that is what people are encouraged in. And, you know, that it's because that's what it's about. That's why we're doing this stuff. We're obviously not just talking to share good information. You know, good information is great, but when it changes a person's outlook and heart, and when it affects a person's life, I mean, that's what it's about. That's what this is about, because Jesus came to give us life and abundant life. And when a person has a focus on their sin and on their works and on how good they are versus how bad they are, instead of on their identity in Christ, it can be such a downer, and that's just putting it very mildly. it can be a lot of bondage for people, and to be freed from that bondage is a big thing. It's a huge thing. And I like something she said there that, I guess putting it in my own words, how she was talking about how her views minimized the cross, the blood of Jesus. I think that's the thing. When we have such of a view of our sin, when our Christian life is about trying to stay right with God and about focusing on our sins, we really do minimize the blood of Jesus. I think that's what Hebrews 10:26 was about. You know, people use that in a negative way, like if we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Well, that's actually, the writer there is saying that if you're going back to the sacrifice in the context, if you're going to the blood of bulls and goats rather than the sacrifice of Jesus, there is no other sacrifice. You can't go back to the blood of bulls and goats because it couldn't take sins away. The one offering of Christ is the one that did take our sins away. So that's the one to look for. There no longer remains a sacrifice. There is no other sacrifice other than the blood of Jesus. And so when we've got this focus on sins and this focus on whether we're right with God, we're minimizing what Christ did. And that reminds me of something you said at the end of last week, talking about how, you know, God, right at the end, you know, you said God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus. Again, I'm putting this in my own words, but it's sufficient for him. What Christ did, the sacrifice of Jesus, was completely sufficient for God. And he wants us to be just as satisfied with that sacrifice. And, you know, someone had commented on a post of mine on a page on Facebook about how Watchman Nee had written some books, and the normal Christian life, he wrote about that, how God is happy with what Jesus did. He's completely satisfied. It, again, putting it in my own words, the sins of the world were taken away through that one sacrifice. God, that was sufficient for God to take away the sins of the world. God wants us to be just as happy with that sacrifice and to know that it was sufficient. It was sufficient for God. Let it be sufficient for us in our own minds. So let it be known in your own mind and heart that what Christ did was enough for you. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes. And that's an important thing. Because, you know, sometimes we get so caught up with our doctrines and the way we think about things and kind of like what our listener wrote to us and said, I'd never really dawned on me before that Jesus couldn't come back and die again. You know, he couldn't shed more blood, and came to the realization, the word that she used, that her beliefs were belittling the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to do that, right? We don't mean to do it. And God understands that. He understands our ignorance. I just want to emphasize that. We all have so much. There's so little that we know in the big scheme of things. But there is information for us to latch on to, especially with the help of the Spirit who abides within. It's really a spirit thing. It's not as much as, listen, we sit here week in and week out talking about the Bible and talking about the gospel and things related to it, including, of course, Jesus and his finished work. So having said that, it's not so much a Bible thing. It's a spirit thing. That's what separates us from the animals, the religious animals that are out there that focus on behavior instead of identity, that focus on us trying to make our way, doing enough stuff to make ourselves acceptable to God. And so this religious legalistic stuff that's out there, whether it's outside of the Christian world or inside all of the different Christian denominations that are out there, it just gets people stuck. And God desires for us to walk in a liberty that is probably something that we can't even begin to understand. And he provided all of these things for us through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 is a powerful thing, and some of the chapters leading up to it, like what you were referring to there, Joel. The problem is so many times we take a Bible verse, or two, like you mentioned, Hebrews 10:26, and we just start latching a bunch of other different verses onto it that have nothing to do with each other. They're not in the same context, or the context of a mindset sometimes based on what they think the verse is saying. I've used this example before, but if we're looking too closely at the picture, if we're getting too close to the pixels, it's just blurry. We need to be able to back away from the verses, the pixels, and begin to get a better view of the bigger picture. And Hebrews is providing that for us in so many ways, and we don't even know who wrote it. And I know there are debates out there amongst historians and theologians as to who wrote some of the other books of the New Testament, that maybe Paul didn't write some of these, maybe John didn't write that one, maybe Peter, especially 2 Peter is mentioned a lot. But we've got what we have to go by, right? We may not have all the information exactly right based on things that we just can't be sure about. But one thing that is for sure, the writings are reliable. When you look at historical documents going all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the New, but there's a context, and we don't always get it right. But regardless of how often we're right or how often we're not right, there is a greater truth that we want to stay attached to. And that truth isn't just Bible doctrine. It's a person. The truth is contained within a person. Remember what Jesus said, I am the way. He's the narrow gate. I'm the way, the truth, the life. You don't get to God except through me. And if we can stay focused on that, some of the other things that we get tangled up with will probably be a little less burdensome once we just stay focused on the truth of Jesus, what he accomplished for us, the sin that was taken away, the blood that was shed one time, the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. It's all the covenant itself, this new covenant that God established with himself. Jesus is that covenant. It's not like a written document, the New Testament pages. The New Testament pages are not the new covenant, right? Not even after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not the new covenant. We call it the New Testament. Testament and covenant can mean similar things, and sometimes they are translated differently that way. But the covenant is contained within a person. It's not a written covenant with letters like the old one was that the Jews were under. So he's the covenant. God gave him as a covenant for the people and to be a light for the Gentiles. Gentiles included in this covenant with Jewish people. It's such a powerful thing. I'm rambling here a little bit, Joel. I'm hitting on a lot of different points here, but I just want to say some of these things because I think people have been taught many things that are contrary to what I was just talking about.
Yeah, how do you follow what you just said? I mean, that's just
amazing. You want me to repeat it?
Could you repeat all of that verbatim? But yeah, the gist of what you were saying, and a lot of different things there, so many good things there. And it's not about the words on the page. And I was thinking about this the other day. Paul said somewhere in one of his epistles, he said, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He didn't say be filled with the Bible. You know, he was talking about, and he didn't mean like sometimes you're filled with the Spirit and sometimes you're not, because we are filled with the Spirit when we come to believe his life indwells us. I think it's more like, don't let yourself be under the influence, you know, because wine, when you have wine, it can influence you in a certain way. And he's not saying a person can't ever have any wine, but he's contrasting that with being influenced by the life of the indwelling Spirit. And sometimes, through what we read in the Bible, we can be influenced by the Spirit. Our minds can go to, can be drawn toward the ways of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But it's not the Bible itself that is our life. It's Christ himself that is our life. The Bible, like you said, the Bible is a great thing. It's wonderful that we have it, and it's reliable, but life is not found in it. And Matthew, Mark, and like you said, the covenant was a covenant made up of laws written down. 613 different laws were written down. It was a covenant that the people agreed to, and of course, they didn't stick to it, whereas the new covenant is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and so on and so forth. It's not the books. It's not the epistles. It's not the writings. It's Jesus Christ himself. God said, I will give you as a covenant, like you were saying. And God made an oath to himself. It's not a covenant that God made with people. It's a covenant that God swore to himself. So he's the one that keeps the covenant. And as we believe, we become the beneficiaries of the covenant. And that's a great thing. But it's all about Jesus and his finished work and the personhood of Jesus. Not how many pages we can read per day, not how many good works we can do, not doing this, not doing that, but it's about Jesus Christ, the person, and knowing him and being known by him. And just going back to something you had started off saying, God does understand our lack of of understanding of things. You know, there's so many different thoughts out there about the Bible and about the things that the Bible says and about the gospel. In those early days of the church, the Galatians were under the influence, speaking of being influenced, they were under the influence of some Jewish people who believed that they had to keep the law. And Paul called them foolish, but he didn't say, well, so now God's against you, or now God would just as soon rather not have you, and he's going to throw you out of the family. He just said, don't put yourself under that bondage. He said, it's foolish. You know, the very thing that was the curse for Israel, Jesus redeemed them from that curse, but the law was a curse. Why would you, when you come to Christ, why would you want to put yourself under those laws that were the curse for Israel? Why would you want to do that? That's foolish. That's silly. That's dumb. So instead, change your thinking, change your understanding, and realize that what Christ has done was enough. It's not about the works of the law. You've been sanctified. You've been justified by grace alone, through faith alone. Now, live in that freedom. It is for freedom that Christ set you free. So stand in that freedom and don't let yourself be burdened by a yoke of slavery. So once you have discovered that you were living in bondage, it's not like you have to count yourself out, or it's not like God is counting you out saying, well, too bad, you lost your chance. He's just saying, just turn, change around your thinking, live in the freedom for which Christ has made you free. And you can do that over and over again. If your thinking fluctuates, just remember to bring yourself back to the truth that what Christ has done is enough to have set you free. And just keep coming back to that truth.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.